Welcome to the Mosh Pit, your home for unsigned punk, rock, and metal artists, where your music goes to be heard.
They woke the neighbors up at 3 a.m. with fireworks, said he was moving back to Tucson with the kids and without her. But he didn't see the fine print on the heart that he signed. Dark in the city that awaits you. If you're not careful, then you might take it on. So say it's just the neighbors, so say a point of rise, just another lost ring, yeah. A riverside.
Safe word, lost ring on Riverside.
Oh my God, welcome to the Mosh Pit. It's your host, Wes Everett, with my freaking awesome co-host, guest star, whatever you want to call him, Mr. Jackson Heaton.
Dude, so happy to be here. Thank you for having me.
Man, thank you for coming out. Dude, this is honestly a dream come true to have somebody on your stage on my couch.
No, this is amazing to be here. This setup, who wouldn't want to come hang out here? You got like all the posters, the guitars, the brick, like, it's just the perfect environment and setting for this. And we're on the couch. You were like, hey, you want to do this at, you know, the professional table, or you want to chill out on the couch and just be laid back and have a conversation? And that is me, too.
My man said, let's go to the couch.
Let's go to the couch.
So, quarantine 2020 has been stupid crazy. You're working from home out of the studio, right? So you're not in your studio?
No, I've been there. I've been back there a couple times to just do some, shows in the studio live here and there, you know, just to get back in there. But yeah, for the most part, since March of 2020, we were going full steam ahead at the beginning of 2020. We had all these plans at the station, shows coming, you know, artists, shows that we were going to, you know, promote and be a part of. And then it's just, I think it was like March 15th or something like that. I was at Scofflaw Brewery getting ready for an interview and get the email, all right, you're all going to be home from now. And at first it was supposed to be just be a week that we were going to be at home. We're like, oh, this is going to pass in a week or something like that. It's not, because, you know, at the beginning of it, it wasn't as serious as it was now.
Yeah, and everybody was like, ah, okay, cool. We get to work from home. We'll be back in office. month at most.
And when they were like, you're going to be working from home, it may be up to a month or two. I'm like, you know what I said? Mm-hmm. Same thing a lot of people said. All right, I'm gonna do nothing but work out, get shredded. And by the time I get back to the office, people are going to be like, whoa, I spent this whole time doing nothing but working out. And then I think that lasted for about 3 weeks of me just working out. And then I'm like, wait a second. I'm broadcasting from home. I'm not in mind-numbing meetings all day. My boss isn't coming in to check on me. I can have a beer at lunch and it'd be okay.
Exactly.
And it was thrown for a loop. And then, you know, we get all our equipment. They send us to broadcast from home. And you're thinking, all right, how do I do a radio show from my house? Like in my closet or in my bedroom? Like, you know, when you're at the studio, when you're at the station, you have that feel.
Yeah.
You know, like Metallica posters, you know, right, on the wall. Or you're in a radio station, so you're getting that vibe. And it's like, all right, how do I create that rock mentality sitting in my bedroom?
So you had to adapt that podcaster platform of, we've got a microphone and a mixer.
Yeah.
Let's just do this.
Yeah, and it was like my first couple shows broadcasting from home. I was like, how do I do it? It was a learning process. I mean, you can ask Bailey and Southside or Lindsay or any of them that have been doing it. It was a learning process trying to connect with citizens of Atlanta and try to, you know, be relatable from home. Because, you know, home is kind of your comfort place. It's where you go to, you know, get away from work, to escape the craziness. So when both of those are intertwined, you know, house and work, it's like, all right, how do you make that work? And then my wife and I, we moved in together before we got married, and my home studio is in our guest bedroom. So I'm trying to do a radio show with her dresses and her shoes and all that around me, and I'm like, all right, this is not a rock setup right here. Like, maybe if she put it, like, some of her underwear, like, on the floor and all that, it may add to the, you know, to the glamour. I'm like, all right, this is the rock star life. I got a thong over here just laying on the ground beside me. That seems like it works, but that took a while to get into it.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you know, you have to adapt. And I think it's really cool that you guys have adapted. And you guys are back in studio now, right? Like, some of you? Or
some of them are. I'm going back in September. Nice. You know, my wife, she is traveling. She works in insurance. And so, you know, she does. She's getting back out there, going to the office sometimes. She just went to Chicago for a few days. And so, you know, she's getting back out there. And so, me still working from home, I get separation anxiety, honestly, because we have been working together every day from home for a year and a half.
Oh, yeah.
You know, see each other every day. We have breakfast together, lunch, dinner. Mm-hmm. And then she goes to Chicago, and, like, I dropped her off Monday afternoon. I picked her back up Thursday morning. But during, like, Tuesday and Wednesday, I'm like, all right, how do I feed myself, bathe myself? I forgot how to do all the things that I've always known how to do.
How do you turn this oven on? Can I just use the microwave?
I didn't cook. I mean, I'm a huge cook. I love cooking. But when she was gone, I just, like, ate what would... peanut butter toast, like nothing else. I think I just ate peanut butter toast for, like, breakfast, lunch, and dinner.
There's nothing wrong with that. Peanut butter and toast is perfect.
But that was the cool thing. And I don't want... I'm sorry to get... You know, I don't want to get too off topic. But,
you're
I mean,
good, man.
You know, that was the cool thing about when we were engaged, we spent so much time together, we had that quality time and that get to know each other. So that was cool. But you know, we're both ready to get back out there. I'm ready to, you know, get back out to local shows and, you know, those are kicking back up. I'm ready to MC more. And so it's good. I'm glad to see things open back up. And, you know, 2021's big concerts announced for this year.
I know. You guys just announced Metallica. Can we name drop Metallica on this podcast?
I mean, with Cage the Elephant and Greta Van Fleet with them. There's so many great shows. And so it's me. People refer to me as an extroverted extrovert before all this.
Mm-hmm.
And COVID and the pandemic, it's made me such a house body that, like, I'm like, oh my gosh, now I got to leave my house. I got to go out and socialize with people with again. I got to do things again. I just want to sit at home and drink beer and watch Netflix.
Dude, we have turned down three live shows from the Masquerade in the past, 2 months?
Mm-hmm.
But it's just been, it hadn't been not just because of, you know, COVID or whatever, but it's been work schedule too. Because, you know, I got marked the whole essential. So we worked from home for all of a month. And it was like, all right, time to get back in the office.
And what do you do?
I'm an ATM tech.
Okay.
For my real time job. So, you know, they're kind of essential. We got to be out there. Y'all want your money. We got to make sure you can get it. But, nah, man, it's just been crazy. And I'm one of those that I'm like, dude, I'm really excited for live shows. But I'm also like, I'd rather stay home. I'd rather stay at the house and watch it. I know they're going to live stream it.
I'm the same way, man. It's just like, I've spent so much time at home. Mm-hmm. And got, I mean, before COVID, I never spent time at home. Like, I was there, like, you know, at night before I went to bed, or sometimes on the weekends if I wanted a day. But I was never just home to be home. And now I'm like, oh, gosh, I got to, you know, get over how comfortable I am here. And I got to drive and pay to park places and pay for beer at bars. And it's like, I don't know if this is worth it.
Dude, that was one of the worst experiences with Atlanta. I have a love-hate relationship with Atlanta and their parking. Their parking is horrible. We went to the Masquerade when we went to Fozzie. When we met you at Fozzie that night.
Oh, way back, great night.
God, when was that? That was 3 years ago, 2.5?
God, that was so great.
That was a great show, but yeah, it was forever ago.
Yeah.
I mean, it had to be.
Well, we ended up parking in one of the gated parking lots, and when we got back to it, they had pulled the gates. So we had to call security to let us in to get our vehicle, and then the dude just left. Like, left. We pulled up the gate, and I was like, how are we going to get out? Like, we had to call him back. He's like, oh, y'all want it out? I'm like, really? Really?
No, we just wanted to sit in our car and, you know, sleep it off there.
Shadow creep.
concrete super gun, run and hide.
No, it's, I am, so for 8 years I lived in the city, Vinings, Buckhead, Midtown, and then, and I loved it. I loved living in the city because I was emceeing all the time when I was trying to build up my name as, you know, Atlanta's Rock Ambassador.
Yeah.
And, which the Future Babes were the first band to call me that, to give me that name. And I will always love the Future Babes for that. And so I was doing all that, and so I needed to be close. Mm-hmm. And then my wife and I, she moved out to Roswell and said, why don't you come live out here with me? I'm like, well, I'm going to move all the way out to Roswell and the burbs? And she's like, but there's nature, there's beauty, there's, we can go paddle boarding, kayak. I'm like, well, we can walk to a bar in Buckhead. My wife's a huge nature person. And now we live in Roswell, right on the river, and I'm like, I can't imagine ever going back to the city. It's just smaller. It's like, you know, less traffic. People are cool there. And so like now when I go into the city, I'm like having a panic attack. I'm like, oh my gosh, the roads are so narrow. And people are driving so crazy.
See, you ought to come out of Rock Mart. Saturday nights after 4 o'clock till Monday morning at around 10. We're dead. There's nothing here. There's absolutely nothing here. I'll take you for a walk here in a few when we get done with this. I'll give you the tour of the town.
It's a beautiful town, man.
It is. And it could be so much prettier. We could do so many live shows. I mean, you saw our parking back there. That's all ours. We could do live shows back there.
Oh, that little parking lot party?
Yes.
Oh, man, that would be insane. Dude. Does Rock Mart have some good shows here?
Only the ones I book.
Oh, yeah. So you're the Rock Mart ambassador.
Yeah, I'm the Rock Mart guy. I'm the Rock Mart version of you.
There you
I'm
go.
Trying to be, anyway.
Oh, man, you're killing it.
Like, dude, it's so good to finally be back in this freaking studio. I probably said this the last 3 episodes I've done. But, man, it just, when we had that flood, it took a toll on my psyche. Like, man, we're never going to get everything back. Never going to get back to where it was. And I'm like, hey, look. We're back where we were, even with a pirate flag.
It is crazy. Like, you know, you wondered how long it was going to be because COVID became such a norm. And, like, wearing masks everywhere, hand sanitizing after every single place you went in. It just became a norm. So now that things are opening back up, I'm thinking, like, all right, it's, at least for a couple years, I don't think it's going to get back to the full normal, like the mental state that pre-COVID was.
Mm-hmm.
Versus post-COVID. I just don't think it's going to be the same. Like, you just have that worry on your mind or that, like, you know, that kind of PTSD of what we all just went through.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, it being on your mind constantly when you go out, being, all right, who's vaccinated, who's not, or who could be sick, who's not.
Right.
Politics aside, you just, you know, it's just a worry.
Yeah, and, you know, I think the days of, man, I came into work, I was just puking. I was sick. I came into work. I'm a hero. That's not going to be the mentality anymore. Talk about you've got a headache. Go home.
Yeah.
Don't even come in here, man.
I remember early COVID, if you went into a grocery store and someone sneezed, you were like, get the hell away from me. Get away.
Yeah.
Stay away.
Yeah. Yeah, the bad part was it happened like right around pollen season.
Yeah.
So you're like, what's that? What's that?
Is that allergies or is that COVID?
Town, so get out. Have you gone to check yourself in?
there's no cure. You just learn to deal. Now I can hold your hand if you won't listen. In the tub you're drowning, just start screaming.
Shake, save me.
Man, I'm just super excited that everything's going on now. Things are opening up. What have you got in store? What have you got coming up? Because I know Mr. Rock Ambassador over there.
Dude, so I mean, the big thing has been, well, you know me, I'm all about the Atlanta rock scene and all about the bands, and that started 5 years ago when I started my podcast. And you know, I was doing overnights on rock. And I was like, all right, what can I do to stand out here? Where's my niche going to be? And I saw people on radio, and there was one other station in Atlanta at the time that would play local music on the weekends at night.
Was that a country station?
No, it was an alternative station. Oh. And it was 99X.
Oh, okay. You know, they were so way back then, yeah.
Yeah, and so I was like, but all right, so stations may play songs, but who's getting to know the artist? Who's actually caring about it?
Right.
Like, you know, you're doing, oh, this may, you know, work if I play a local band. I don't really care about it, but I'm going to play this local band. And I was like, no, I love local music. These bands are the up and comers that, you know, there's always going to be new waves of rock coming in and out. I want to be part of the wave that's going in, you know. And so I just, you know, I knew the Ides of June real well because their singer and guitarist, we all grew up together.
Oh, nice.
In Blairsville, Georgia, North Georgia.
Okay, yeah.
And so I had them on, and then I just started going out to shows and more. And when I got 7 to Midnight on Rock, my boss gave me Homebrew. And Homebrew is now just a huge win for the Atlanta rock scene.
Yes, it is.
Because you get, you know, your best song played every night at 8:30, and it's a huge win, and it's a huge spotlight for a massive rock scene that really wasn't getting the attention it deserved before.
Yeah, because you've had on, I'm going to plug a couple of bands that I've worked with that we've both worked with, like Wicked Animal.
Oh, yeah.
Warsaw Clinic.
Oh, yeah.
Dude, those guys are killer. Got to see them. Yeah, Masquerade. Another Masquerade show.
Funny story about the Warsaw Clinic. So I got hired on to host some shows at the Four Seasons.
Oh.
Yeah, that's what it was. The Four Seasons in Atlanta. And they were like, Jackson, we want you to book some rock bands. We want to do some rock shows on our terrace level at the Four Seasons. I'm like, Four Seasons super fancy, and you want me to bring rock bands to the Four? Oh, they're like, oh yeah, it's gonna be great. I'm like, all right, you're asking me, yeah, and I'll give you the rock bands. And so the Warsaw Clinic was the first one that I booked, and they're loud. they're a loud band, and so they plug in there at the Four Seasons, and they start jamming, man. They're doing great. Lady at the Four Seasons comes up and is like, could you ask them to turn it down? I'm like, you want me to ask a rock band to turn down? And I mean, no disrespect to the Four Seasons. That was a great thing. It was just, it was a learning process, that first one of the series we were mm-hmm. doing, you know, noise-wise and all that. But that was a great experience working with the Four Seasons. But the Warsaw Clinic, amazing dudes. They're phenomenal to work with. They're such a good band. Eli and all them, okay. I mean, what they're doing. And they're actually part of our Rock the Bank thing we're doing, a charity concert. Pistols at Dawn is headlining. It's four homebrew bands: Greco, 16 Bullets, Warsaw Clinic, and Pistols at Dawn.
That's going to be awesome. Yeah. When is that?
It's in November. I got to look at the exact date, but it's all for charity, and I think it's going to be at the Loft West Midtown.
Yeah.
And I'm going to MC that. And so it's cool to have these shows coming back and, you know, the Atlanta rock scene just being supporters of each other as they are. They're never competing. They're always supporting each other. And, you know, to have charity shows like this, doing it for a good cause, it's just really cool to be a part of that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Sounds good.
Dude, shoot us over the information for that. We'll tag it.
Oh, yeah, I'll send it to you right after this.
Have you guys thought about expanding homebrew? Like,
That's things I'm talking about, and you know, things I'm.
I know you're probably not obligated or not able to say. You know, I
have
in the
a
future.
Lot of plans for nice. Homebrew. I'll say that I have a lot of plans because I know, you know. Gosh, what can I say? What can I not say?
Bad.
No, it's all good. It's all good. I'm just saying, you know, there's always, you know, in any radio station, people want to hear the music they know and love.
Yeah.
That's just, you know.
Yeah.
Whatever you want to say, politics of the business or of any business, you know, the popular stuff is. Yeah. But, you know, I want to be so involved. I mean, I want to have my claws, and I think I do for the most part, have my claws in the rock scene more than most radio people have. Yeah. And I just want to keep expanding that because here in Atlanta, when shows are going on like normal, you can go see a show any given night of the week here at any of the venues, and mm-hmm. you're going to pay a fraction of the cost that you go to see a show at State Farm Arena or, you know, Truist Park or anything like that.
Yeah, and a better environment, too.
Oh, yeah. See, I'm all about the smaller shows. Yes. I like the ones where you're standing there in the crowd, you got a beer in your hand, and you can just feel the drum, the guitar, the singing. Like, you can feel it happening rather than sitting way up in the, you know, banisters of a big arena or something like that, and you're using binoculars to see a band.
Have you been to the Nick over in Birmingham?
Is that?
It's way out there.
Is it a smaller venue?
Yeah, it's about the size of this.
Oh, yeah, I went to see Metallica at in Birmingham one time.
Nice.
But it was at the big arena. Yeah. Whatever that arena is there.
Yeah.
Well, but no, I've never been to a smaller.
The Nick is tiny. Like, if you take this studio we're in right now from back to front, it's about that big. Add four pool tables and a stage. And I was like, dude, I was sitting on a pool table and I could almost touch the lead singer from Sleep Signals. Have you listened to Sleep Signals? You know them?
I mean, I know them, yeah.
Yeah,
I've
never seen them. Killer, dude.
Oh my gosh, I love Sleep Signals.
Dude, we got to get them in Atlanta.
Oh,
we got to get them in Atlanta.
There's so
I
many
say
bands.
We because me and you, man.
There's so many bands that I want to come to Atlanta so bad that I mean, I see them like announce their tours. I'm like, why can't you send out Atlanta Day? You're going to Florida. You're going,
I'm going right through it.
You're going to North Carolina or whatever. Just come on here to Atlanta. We're fun. We're fun. We're friendly people.
Our venues don't pay enough, man.
Do they not?
Our venues don't pay enough.
Yeah.
Oh. We'll touch on that later. I ain't gonna get.
I don't want to go to my own. I don't want to bag anybody.
No, I love our venues, man.
But you know, and that's why I love small venues like Smith's Old Bar or 529. But then for even bigger shows, I love like Terminal West because I've seen the Glorious Sons there, and that was just one of the most amazing shows. And I'll tell you, someone you need to look out for in rock. He opened for Glorious Sons on that one. Dez Rocks. DESROCS. It's two words. Dez Rocks. This dude is Brooklyn as it comes. And he is just, it's like Mick Jagger and so many people combined, the way he moves and plays on stage. And then I saw the Used with my wife there at Terminal West. And that was one of the most electric shows of all time. I love. I love old punk rock.
Yes. Oh God, yes. There's not enough punk anymore, man.
No, there's not. There's.
I've got a handful of bands that are just absolutely hardcore punk, and I can't play them on every show, you know.
Yeah, dude. I mean, I always say my favorite era of music was like early 2000s punk.
Oh yeah.
I'm sorry, My Chemical Romance. You know,
Green Day.
I can't wait to go to the Hell Omega Tour on Tuesday. Green Day, Fall Out Boy, and Weezer. They just don't make music like that anymore. Like, it was just, yeah. Like, I mean, Fall Out Boy, Sugar, We're Going Down is one of my favorite songs ever. I mean, it was just like, and so, I mean, I love the music that's being made today. It's, you know, it's great rock, but that punk rock era, it was just so, like, you know, it just takes me back to high school every time I listen. Like, Helena from My Chemical Romance, if I listen to that, I'm going straight back to 10th grade.
Mine was Good Charlotte.
Good Charlotte, oh, yeah. Mm. Boys like girls, something money.
And see, that was the thing. You had kick-ass, the guy version punk bands, and you had the female punk bands. I mean, look at Gwen Stefani's early stuff. Look at Avril Lavigne. You knew I was going there.
Avril Lavigne's my girl, man. That's my girl right there. Mad respect for some Lavigne, man.
Did you see her latest TikTok with Tony Hawk?
I heard about it. I haven't watched it.
It was kind of... I mean, it was... nostalgic for nostalgic reasons.
Yeah. No, man, but that whole era, like, I mean, it was simple, it was beautiful. Like, we went to see the Red Jumpsuit Apparatus at Furnace 41.
Yeah.
That was my first time going to Furnace, and it was so much fun.
Dude, Furnace is killer.
Bo,
yeah,
over there.
Killer dude, man.
And I meant to say it to him, I was like, man, if y'all were just even a little closer to Atlanta, I just feel like it would be just even more than what it is. But they are killing it so much over there. The shows they book, the friendliness of the staff.
And that new remodel they just did.
Oh, my God.
Oh.
It was... So the Red Jumpsuit Apparatus, seeing that and hearing those songs live, it was just... Like I said, great time of music.
Yeah.
So my wife and I, we stayed over there. And I'm going to stop talking about my wife. I'm sorry. I love being married. It's like, I like base my life now on being married.
It's cool, man. It's still new, right?
Two months.
You could have brought her with
you. No. She's having a great time at the house. She loves her alone time.
Yeah, we can feel that.
How long have y'all been together?
7 years.
7 years, yeah.
7 years.
My bad. I stumbled through that one. I'm going to catch hell on that one.
He's sitting here. He's like, man, I'm going to be in the doghouse later on that one.
You said?
you didn't know it right off the bat. You had to say,
I was thinking it was 8 because, you know, it's been so long.
But we stayed at this place over near Furnace 41 because we didn't want to drive all the way back to Roswell. And it was this hotel. Don't want to say the name of it. But it was a prostitution hotel, and because there was an ATM right by the road going into the hotel, and it was sketchy people, and that was a nightmare. That was a nightmare.
Were the doors on the outside? Or was it interior doors?
It was a motel, so I mean, it was just like the doors were outside. Yeah.
Straight up the stairs, yeah. And there it is.
And then we're leaving in the morning, and this guy who, you know, it was either like drugged out or just hungover, his crap was like, hey man, you got a cigarette? Yeah, I'm like, yeah, no man, we don't got a cigarette. And he's like, okay, I just wanted a cigarette. And then just walked back in, closed the door. It's like, hope that guy finds a cigarette.
I'm pretty sure it's probably one under a pillow or a mattress somewhere.
There was one under our bed.
Oh, there you go.
A half smoked one. And there was dog food under the bed. And it said no pets allowed.
Mm. You got your own sheets, right?
There it was. We scrubbed in the shower when we got home the next day.
A red rose passion. passion it throws. Spectacular disasters, I know. I tried to tell you I know it.
Evelyn Romance, Young.
But, I mean, it's... I'm sorry, I get so off topic here.
There's no topic, we're just chilling, man.
Yeah, and it's just going back out to shows, and that was my first real show getting back out to at Furnace since COVID.
Yeah.
And going back to the PTSD that some of us, you know, might face after what we went through, it was like this big crowd of people, and I'm like, oh gosh, am I going to get sick? I've gone, you know, this far without getting it, you know, so I mean, like.
I got it. I survived it.
When did you have it?
September. I had a September. It was literally, she was off to work, and she kissed me that morning, she left, and I wasn't really feeling good, so I went on into work anyway, because I was like, it's probably just allergies. And about halfway through the day, I was like, no, I think I'm going home. And I left, and I called my boss, and I got home, I looked in the mirror, and I was like, my lips are blue. I was like, and I can't smell anything. I was like, I've got COVID, I'm staying home. And he was like, what? You can't have COVID. I was like, okay, well, I can't have it, but I've got it. So I'm staying home, and, you know, leave me alone. And I ended up, our job is so remote, we can do everything via computer. I mean, anything that we can do from home. So I was like, just keep paying me, you know, I'm salary, so pay me. I'm still gonna take calls. Don't ask me to go anywhere though.
Well, how did you feel when you got COVID?
2 days I was sore. It was honestly like the flu. I was sore, I couldn't taste anything, but it wasn't like I wasn't curled in the fetal position, hoping to die. I was just like, "Now my back hurts, my stomach hurts. I'm gonna go sit in the chair." And within, what was it, a week and a half, I was pretty much over it. And I had some yard work I needed to get done. And I was like, "I'm going out here. I gotta go finish this yard work." She calls me. She's like, "What are you doing?" I'm doing what I've needed to do. But I've been at work, so I've been at work and I've had COVID now, so I haven't got to do anything. So I'm going to do this. She's like, you don't need to overexert yourself. I was like, I'm fine. So I got my yard work done and she calls and she's like, I hate you. She's like, you got COVID and now you're outside in the hot sun. It's not really that hot out here. I guess that was another symptom of COVID because it was something like 85 degrees, but I was like, yeah, it's not that bad. It's like, it's not that bad.
I haven't known anyone that was like hospitalized from it. I personally haven't known anybody from that. I've known some people that you know, got it and had little minor symptoms, mm-hmm. or whatever, but you know, I hear all these about these people that were hospitalized or, you know, even God forbid the deaths that came from it.
Yeah.
And I'm very thankful that, you know, no one in like my family or my friends or
that circle,
no one I knew, even the ones that I knew that got it, they just had like, you know, like you said, the minor symptoms of, you know, maybe a headache, some soreness, and so very thankful for that. Very thankful.
Yeah, absolutely. But you know, getting back to you being the rock ambassador, I think it's kind of funny the way you got into the locals and everything. It was very mirror of how I did it. So there's a country station. That's the reason I asked, because there is a country station here in Georgia that does backyard country. Local artists here in Georgia. They only play Georgia music, of course. And I was like, dude, that's cool. They're doing that for country. This was 2012, 2013. And I was like, that's really cool. It's like, why don't any of the rock stations around here do local rock? And my girlfriend at the time, not her, she was like, we should start a podcast. Because, you know, that was the end thing. And I was like, yeah, let's do a podcast. So we threw around some ideas, came up with the Mosh Pit. And I was like, let's just play local punk rock and metal. She goes, okay. So fast forward a couple of years, really, trying to get everything set up, because I had no idea what I was doing. Like, not a clue.
As none of us did when we started all this.
Not a clue. I'm like, how do we host this thing? How do we get this thing on the internet? What do we do? YouTube? Because YouTube was still, you know, not really there yet. And finally, we started making traction. But, dude, it was so heartbreaking in the Atlanta market. I had Tennessee, Alabama, Florida, South Carolina, Washington. I had all these bands reaching out to me. But I'd reach out to an Atlanta band. They're like, now, who are you? Who do you think you are? You're nobody. I'm like, okay, I'm nobody, but is anybody else playing your music? Well, no. Okay, then. So we just started pushing. I guess 2015, we fully launched and haven't really looked back since. Just been enjoying the hell out of it.
I mean, how many episodes have you done?
We are up to 100. Man. Technically, it's more because we had something like 30 or 40 on our old library on Mixcloud. Well, when I changed from Mixcloud to Podbean, I said, just need to just start over this relaunch. You know, relaunch, you know.
That's a hard call to make, too. Like,
well, I went back and listened to some of the old episodes. I basically downloaded my entire library because I was like, all right, I'll have these as backup in case, you know, I'm not consistent or I got to be out of town and I don't have a show. I'll just go ahead and have a, you know, my old stuff and I can re-up it and whatever. I got to listen to some of those old shows and I was like, what was I using to record this? My phone? And I'm talking like the flip phone. It sounded horrible. It's just, no. So I scrapped all those. I kept them, but I'm never going to re-up them.
I mean, I going back to that too, you listen to like some of your early work, and not just the sound quality, but your interview style or your tactics. Like, I'll go back and listen to some of my, you know, big artist interviews I've done for the station.
Mm-hmm.
I remember one of my first ones was Tobias Forge from Ghost.
Okay.
And it was the first one that I had that went viral. First of 11 that went viral with big artist interviews. And I'll go back and listen to that. And I'm like, man, that sounded horrible.
Yeah.
My interview style was like, it was a little too much about me, or I tried to put too much of myself into it. But I was nervous and, you know, I was a kid. That, you know, interviewing a big rock star, and, you know, you learn from it. It's just a learning process.
Yeah, and I was there. I was that where, you know, I had a list of questions, and it was 10 questions. These are the base these are the questions we ask, because I had a formula. I mean, I really did. Well, we're going to look at doing two interviews. We're going to do a pre-interview, which is like the first interview where Atlanta doesn't know who you are. My listeners do not know who you are. So here are your questions of, you know, how long have you been in the band? How'd you get the name? Stuff like that. When we follow up, then, you know, there's more stuff we can branch off to. But it was really bad because there was no segue. There was no segue question. It was like, you know, how long have you been in the band? Where'd you come up with the band name? And it just, going back and listening to it, I'm like, oh my God, I could have at least said, you know, that's really cool. And go on to the next question. But it was just question, question, question.
Yeah, that's how, when I first started my podcast, I was the same way. Or, all right, what were your influences? How long have you been a band? How did you come up with the name?
And those sounds so familiar.
Yeah. No, and yeah, that's the basic starting out, because what else are you going to ask when you don't know what you're really doing? And,
right.
And I mean, I was the same way. I would just be like, I would go back and listen to my first few podcast interviews, and I'd be like, it was just question, answer. And I'm like, where's the conversation? Mm-hmm. And then I started doing my 20 questions game on there, and it would loosen them up. And, you know, I'd come up with these wild questions for 20 questions. It was out of this world. And it would create, you know, branch off answers and branch off questions. And, you know, I think, you know, a good interview is just like, yeah, you ask questions, but it's all about the conversation. It's, right. You know, it's like a question. It's a Q&A conversation.
Yeah, like this one here. This has probably been one of my best ones.
Well, I'm loving it. And I think it's amazing because we're on these velvety couches right here.
Velvety couches.
Is this velvet? I'm not good with my fabrics.
It's
it could be leather for all I know.
It's not leather. We said no to leather. Probably should have said no to black. I'm going to spend.
It's like you said, this is going to get dirty super fast.
Yeah, I should have yelled at you about having your shoes on, but I kept mine on too. So.
Oh, should we have taken our? Should we have been barefoot for this?
Yeah, sure. Put our feet up on the table.
Well, we could have been in our underwear, man. Really gotten down to the nitty gritty here. You know, we'd have been both vulnerable there.
Would have been.
Would have been very vulnerable.
It would have been.
You know, we wouldn't have been hiding anything from each other. It's like, that's our true selves.
You want to do that on the next episode?
I think we
should. I know you're coming back.
Oh, I'm coming back. I think full on, you know, either in our underwear or a pajama party.
Pajama party. I got to get a good rug because that floor is not fun on bare feet because it's just solid concrete.
Toughens you up.
Or that.
You know, that
wear your flippers. Wear your little slippers.
Wear my cute house slippers.
Yeah.
My Aisha bought those for me. Deer foam slippers. They're like the most comfortable things in the world.
Oh.
I like wear them all the time when I'm at the house. Like, I can't not wear them. It's like, it's made out of deer foam on the inside. It's like a little cuddle for your feet.
Oh, that's awesome.
It's very nice.
That fits in perfect with the interview we just did yesterday. Did a interview. You'll have to check her out. Savannah. She is a hunter. She kills her own deer, or processes her own meat, does all that. She makes clothes, jewelry, all this really cool stuff. But she'd probably make you another pair of those.
Oh, I am a vegan, so I don't do the deer killing.
You don't do the deer killing?
I used to hunt.
Yeah, I used to, way back when. I can't make myself get up that early anymore.
And I'm told, the vegan thing I do, I have to make that as a joke, because I'm doing it for health reasons. I got my gallbladder taken out last year.
Oh.
And so meat just wasn't like sitting well with me after that. So that's when. And we do cheat every now and then. So at the very least, you can call me a pescatarian.
Okay.
Because I don't eat like chicken or beef or anything. Like, I'll do some seafood every now and then.
No.
Very seldom, but for the most part, vegan, vegetarian. It's boring. But it's fun.
Yeah, you'll probably live longer than me. I eat meat at least three times a day, so.